Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. We're live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators in action tonight, hosting the Edmonton Oilers. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game starts here at 6 o'clock on 102.5, The Game. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, always appreciate our chats with you. It was a brutal morning watching the Titans get beat down by the Baltimore Ravens in London on Sunday. If you had to choose one word to describe what you saw from the Titans on Sunday, what would it be?
I'm torn between disappointing and ugly. I think maybe I go with disappointing. Ugly applies also. You only give me one. They probably both apply.
You can combine them both. Yeah. Ugly, disappointing.
Yeah. Disappointing and ugly.
I mean, I feel like these London games in general, I feel like there's, like, you get some curveballs for sure. I mean, just look at Buffalo a couple weeks ago, right? Like, so it does happen where, you know, you get this kind of an off performance. But, you know, I think it's been experienced enough. I think there's probably enough data. There's probably enough information with, you know, how teams travel, how they approach it, how they do all of those things to, you know, prevent that from being the case, you know, for your team if you're over there playing. So, you know, I think because of that, you know, that's where the disappointment comes up. Mm-hmm. And then I think in terms of, you know, the ugly, it just seems like it has been, and I think, Caroline, I think you asked me about this last week, just the up and down nature mm-hmm. of the offense. And that is just, like, that's just really frustrating as well. You know, when it's one week, you know, it seems like the ball is never hitting the ground. And the next week, it's like, man, it's a battle to complete, you know, half your passes. And so yeah. I just think when you look at that, you know, that's also the part of it that's probably ugly.
Yeah, total inconsistency from this team. And, you know, they always say that you are what your record says you are. And this team is very much so 2-4. Two good yeah. games and four absolute clunkers. The Titans have a bye this week, and then the Atlanta Falcons the following week, and then the trade deadline just a couple days after that. In your opinion, what would you need to see from this team to help you decide what to do at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think you would have to see a lot of – like, I think you need to see encouraging signs, because I think what you're getting at, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but is that the bye happens. Let's say you don't see the signs of promise that you need, you know, kind of between now and the trade deadline. Do you trade players that, you know, maybe because of contract or otherwise might not be on your roster a year from now in order to get the ammunition you need to have a better team 2024 and beyond? And so what would I need to see? I mean, I think I think I would need to see a lot of improvement, probably just across the board in terms of just offensive production and efficiency. And I think some ways, you know, if you're not getting it on a certain side of the ball, that maybe puts into question things that you would do on the other side of the ball in terms of personnel. So, because I do think you're getting to that point, especially when you just look at the AFC. Look, if you come out of the bye week to play a game and you're 2-5, yeah, I think you have to make some hard decisions. And then, like, what do I mean about, like, seeing some efficiency? Like, Titans are 1-9 on third down.
Bad.
Like, there are some things, like, so if you're not seeing signs of life, yeah, I think you probably need to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, when you hear a comment like Jeffrey Simmons makes and says, well, we're going to find out who wants to be here, who wants to be a Titan, who wants to play, you know, as a Titan, essentially, you know, I'm just paraphrasing what he said after the game. What goes through your mind? Because to me, when a guy says that, one, it's frustration, but then two, it's something that that's being seen by that player or players that now that they're losing, they're all of a sudden now we're starting to come out. Like,
yeah.
If you, we're going to find out who really wants to be on this team and who doesn't.
Yeah, when I hear things like that, and you know, I'd be curious if you had a similar experience to mine. But when you hear things like that, the things that jump out to me are things like this. Has a culture developed on the team? You know, maybe it's younger players, but has a culture developed on the team where, like, Friday night becomes a big social night, you know, and the way guys roll in to walk through on Saturday is, you know, not really what you would consider for championship caliber teams. Is there, you know, a lack of effort at practice, or is there a lack of effort in terms of like attention to details, in terms of really trying to be prepared each and every week? Is there effort that you see maybe even on game day, or an attitude that is, you know, just not a culture of a winning attitude, like fully invested in the process? So, that's what that says to me when you hear a star player who's been an awesome player, who's clearly committed to the organization, when he says something like that.
Yes.
And I would be curious to think if you feel like it's a similar thing from your experience.
Yeah, it's typically to me when things like that start to come out, there are things like you said. Are guys rolling in late to lifting weights? Are guys, you know, if you're supposed to lift at 8, are you rolling in at 8:30? Or if you're supposed to, are you coming in 2 or 3 minutes late to meetings? All these things that were not happening, now they're starting to happen. And then because we're losing, now it comes out in an interview. So just like you players see these changes, whether it be the player himself or he sees it in other guys that are coming into meetings late, you know, not doing what they're supposed to do, coming out to practice late. And then you just get frustrated as a player and you voice those frustrations through the media.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And I think what happens is, like, sometimes it's like not a big deal when you're winning.
Exactly.
And then when you're losing, and you got guys looking around being like, wait a second, like, everyone here knows I've got a torn labrum, but yet I'm the first one into the lift. I'm staying late watching film. I'm doing all of this and all of that. And then I'm looking around, and it doesn't feel like the same level of commitment. You know what I mean? And I think that's where the frustration is hurt.
Now, do you think the NFL should mandate, you know, teams, if they're playing overseas, to leave either that Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Because it was clear, you know, Baltimore left early. Jacksonville was already in London or overseas. And it just, there was a clear distinction on teams that had been there for a while and teams that just got there. Because Buffalo looked horrible. They looked lackluster. And then the Tennessee Titans, who didn't travel over there until, I believe, what, Thursday? They look lackluster. So in order to get a better game, should the league mandate that these teams leave a little bit earlier?
You know, I don't think that the league should be responsible for saying when you have to go there. Because I think if the league starts saying, like, hey, you guys got to come on Tuesday, like, they may end up filling your week with other things that are non-football that, you know, maybe become a distraction to actually getting ready to play the game. And if, you know, your coach and your organization believes that, look, we're better off with our own training room and our own practice fields and you know, guys sleeping in their own beds versus, you know, spending that much time away from home, if they think that that's what's best for their team, then I think they should be able to make that decision. And I think that's where look, you played for different organizations. I did as well. Not every team travels the same. And not everybody spends the same amount of money on how they travel. And not everybody does it at the same level as everybody else. And so I think that, look, that's just something that players need to take note of. You know, how do we fly? Where do we stay? How do we handle, you know, games that are you know, across the Atlantic Ocean? You know, what, you know, what, like, how does that, like, how do they take care of us in those moments? And I think that, you know, players may start to pay attention to that stuff.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck. And, Tim, they always say the quarterback gets too much blame, too much credit. So when you evaluate Ryan Tannehill, there are a lot of people saying, well, look at the numbers. The numbers are really bad. You know, he ranks 31st, 32nd in a lot of key categories, and not a whole lot higher than about 27th in any of them. And now he's got the high ankle sprain. So how would you evaluate him? He's going to be the starter if he comes back, but now you factor in mobility, which has been a strength of his, could mm-hmm. be limited. How do they make it work going forward? I can see the argument of why not just turn the page.
Yeah, I don't know that I would be ready to turn the page, and I think the guy that gives you the best chance of turning it around, you know, from a 2-4 season to, you know, going, you know, 4-2 over your next 6 games, I believe on the roster is Ryan. So, you know, that's why I would not be eager to turn the page. You're exactly right in terms of the mobility. I actually think that they probably could be more aggressive with him when he's healthy as a runner and as a designed runner. So, you know, depending on what he looks like and if you're less apt to run him, I think the bigger question I would have would end up being, does giving him, just sitting him for a little bit, get me back the guy that gives me my best chance to win, you know, once we, you know, are closer to November or in November? That would be the question I ask. And then, you know, with that, like, can you win with one of the guys that you have? So, look, I don't think that Ryan has played in a way that it doesn't at least make you have that conversation about how to handle him, where I think, like, look, when Joe Burrow wants to come play and he's clearly not totally right because of the calf injury, look, that's just his call and you're going to play him. You know, I think with how things have gone offensively, and not that it's been all his fault, I think you at least have to have the conversation of, all right, what if we sit him? We get a, you know, we get a bye week and we sit him and we get him 2 weeks, 3 weeks off. We then have a healthy Ryan and we also learn a little bit more about where other quarterbacks are.
On where other quarterbacks are, let's hit you with a couple. CJ yeah. Stroud looks really good, and that was not something the Titans were hoping to see this early here. So just how good do you think he looks?
I think he looks really good. A couple of things that they've done a good job of is, you know, what D'Amico Ryans is doing down there reminds me a little bit of Sean McDermott early, you know, years in Buffalo, in that they're doing a great job creating turnovers. They're not getting crazy offensively. And I think because of that, it's helped the quarterback play well from the standpoint of, you know, he's not making bad decisions. So, and that's not to take anything away from how he's played, but, you know, offensively, they haven't been lighting people on fire, but he's been making enough plays. He's certainly thrown the ball well, but he's not turning it over. And so because of that, like, they're just in games and then in turn winning some games. And I would just caution everybody in the AFC South a little bit that, look, you look at their schedule, like, they're going to be in the mix if they improve a little bit on offense. So, yeah, he's played well. I think it's fair to say he's probably exceeded expectations.
And then how in the world do the Browns, the Jets, and the Giants play the way they played in this league with the backup quarterbacks in? If you consider Zach Wilson the backup, which you really did. Mm-hmm. But the Jets beat the Eagles, the Browns beat the 49ers, and the Giants were one play away from beating the Bills in Buffalo. With the backup quarterbacks
None
in.
That's
one of those where just when you think you have the league figured out, something like that happens.
Well, here's what I'd say, and, like, two things stick out from San Francisco's perspective that kept the Browns in it. Well, and let me just say this. So all of those teams that you mentioned, they all have good defenses. Like, you know, the Browns defense is really good. The Jets defense is a championship caliber defense. And the Giants have a good defense. So that can keep you in it for sure. And we talk so much about offense, and I think sometimes, you know, we slight that side of the ball. And then I would say this. The Niners, they had so many busts up front this past week. Like, they just blew assignments, and it impacted how Purdy played. I think the weather impacted how Purdy played. He missed throws, and they just weren't the same. That's why that game turned out the way it did. You know, the Jets-Eagles. So that defense obviously was great. Zach Wilson did not turn the football over. Robert Saleh said it. Like, if Zach Wilson doesn't turn the football over, they're going to win a bunch of football games. Like, that's how good the defense is. And so I think that ended up being a factor there. And from the Eagles' perspective, they were winning. So other than, like, the very start of the game at 0-0, they're winning the entire game until there's inside 2 minutes left. And Jalen Hurts had 45 attempts. That's not their formula. Like, Philadelphia Eagles completely got away from how they really should be playing football. They did. And then in Buffalo, like, you know, we're talking about London games. Look, you got to fly back too, right? And so
that's probably harder, right?
Yeah.
I would think so. And, you know, and so I think in that environment, a couple turnovers, they just got off to a really, really slow start. And they were a different team in the second half. But, you know, I do think it was an impressive effort by the Giants with all, not just backup quarterback, but other backups that they had. But, you know, that to me ended up being, you know, turnover game. And then obviously, you know, the bad decision by the Giants was rough.
Now, Tim, is the L.A. Chargers the new Dallas Cowboys? Because I think the Staley, you know, the Staley regime, I think it's past due. I think they need to move on. I know Justin Herbert is dealing with an injury on his non-throwing hand, but it just seems like when they get in these situations, he or Staley always does something that costs them the game. It's like they just like Dallas. They always do something at the end that calls themselves a game. The L.A. Chargers are the same way.
There's something about the Chargers that I just can't – like, they're the team where it's like, really? Like, as good as you are, like, that's how you finish? And so, yeah, I mean, if that's how people viewed the Cowboys, it probably so. I thought Staley was on the hot seat a year ago. I actually thought Kellen Moore was potentially a candidate to replace him as a head coach. And so that dynamic out there, I think, is very interesting. So much so that if they continue to underperform, is there a move during the year at head coach? And you give Kellen Moore an opportunity to maybe change it? So, and I would say this about Justin Herbert. I think he's a great player. I love watching him play. But, like, can a broken finger on your left hand impact your accuracy on your right hand?
Exactly.
Like, when Willie had a blister on his right index finger, did it hurt his curveball? Like, I don't know that it did.
Fair question.
I thought that he missed too many throws last night. And, yeah, and so I think there's legitimate reason to be like, look, as hard as everybody is on Dak Prescott, I mean, shoot, Dak misses a touchdown throw at the end of the game, they have to settle for three, that there's a very good chance that cost them the football game. But we're more talking about, you know, some of the misses that Justin Herbert had, which I think is fair based on some of the throws he missed.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you as always. We'll chat next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, Tim. Tim Hasselbeck, he is the very best. And it does feel like the Chargers have some sort of bugaboo.
Man. Gosh.
Just something they just can't quite get off their backs. But we talked with Tim about the big decisions that are now facing the Titans in the next few weeks. By this week, then the Falcons, then the trade deadline. what Mike Vrabel said about what they could do and what they're keeping in mind over the next few weeks. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and older and in Tennessee to bet.